IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Hello everyone, this is Viewpoints. I am Ata from IRIB English Radio. With me in the studio, I have two guest speakers, Sister Zainab and Shaykh Hussein Latifi. Sister Zainab, welcome to the show.
Wa alaykum salam, brother.
Oh, I forgot to say salam, salam alaykum to you. And salam alaykum, Shaykh Hussein, welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, great to be here.
The new leader of Islamic Republic of Iran is Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei. So today we want to discuss about the way he was elected, or selected as the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran. First of all, Sheikh Hussein Latifi, let's start with you. What information do we have about this Ayatollah? I mean, nobody could believe that, for example, the next leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei, would not have any governmental post or position before being selected as a rahbah.
Yeah.
And because usually in the political sciences in the world, a person becomes a leader or a president, a prime minister, who has this long history of being a politician. But what about Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei?
Yeah, there are two sides of the discussion. One is that he was not a person who misused the power of his father. Mm-hmm. Clearly, that is something that people in a world where that yellowhead says that whatever business my family do, they have inside information, something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
So, but in the case of Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei, everybody accepts that he did not manipulate or misuse the power of his father throughout the years. But the other thing is, did he not have experience of management? Didn't he not have experience of different sectors of the country? Which is not true, because naturally, when you are the son of the leader,
yes,
people are going to need your help, like in different sectors, and in different sectors, he was appointed as a facilitator.
Yes,
it was very. For example, in the resistance thing,
yes,
domain. He was appointed by his father as a link between himself, I mean the leader, and some of the people in the resistance in the region. And also in
it still does not bring authenticity to his leadership, does it? Because this is this, for example, a spark criticism that this is an example of dynastic succession.
Okay, there's that thing.
I mean, being a link between
No.
As
I was
leader.
Talking about the experience. You know,
experience
on one side, you need the person to have the experience.
Okay.
On the other side, you need it not to be the result of the blood lineage thing.
Yes.
Okay. So I was talking about the first side. The second side, that is guaranteed by the Council of the Experts.
Assembly of the Experts.
The Assembly of the Experts. So, you know, like after Imam Khomeini, we had Sayyid Ahmad Khomeini, his son. Mm-hmm. But the Assembly of Experts did not choose him. Like, on different grounds, okay? They have their own calculations.
Even we had bigger heads, for example, like Ayatollah Muntazari, or for example, Hashemi Rafsanjani,
yes,
okay? They were the...
No, in terms of the lineage, the dynasty, if it were to be followed with dynasty, you had Sayyid Ahmad, and after him you had Sayyid Hassan. All of these are the...
The family members of Ayatollah Khomeini,
and he was a bigger person even at that time. So why the Assembly of Experts did not choose? Because their calculation is not based on the bloodline. So in this case, in the case of Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba Khomeini, if it were just because of the bloodline, he had an older brother, Sayyid Mustafa, for example. Why didn't they choose Sayyid Mustafa? So because...
He is the second son, isn't it?
I think yes.
Yeah.
After him, Mas'ud and Maysam. So it's not like they look at this person and they say, okay, look at his children and choose one.
Mm-hmm.
No, they look at available. There is a process for
this.
There is this committee that would suggest certain people.
Mm-hmm. And the candidates, you mean.
Yeah, based on different qualities that they have. And actually from the time, even 10 or 15 years ago, this committee was thinking of different possible candidates.
Yes.
And in all of those situations, Rahbar, the martyred Rahbar, would stop them from bringing Sayyid Mujtaba in. Now, this shows two things. One is that Sayyid Mujtaba was a potential candidate even at that time.
All
because of his experience in his relationship with the different sectors in the country.
I know what you mean.
But at the same time, Rahbar did not want to be seen as a person facilitating his own son as his successor. So this was the interpretation of the Council of Experts, that Rahbar was only trying to stop that because of the picture that would create if he in himself would step in that direction.
That's it. Yeah. All right. So he must be a qualified Islamic jurist, isn't it? I mean, this is one important condition is that he must be a jurist. He must be a qualified one. I mean, what's the need to the knowledge of a jurist to run a country? I mean, Sister Zainab.
Yeah, well, obviously, this is one of the provisions. Actually, our Shahid Rahbar himself had actually commented on, you know, the particular, some of these qualities that the new leader should have in general. See, I'm not sure when he said this, but Shahid Rahbar said, for example, they should have high scientific, religious, political, and social status.
Yes.
And the reason he gave for mentioning these particular qualities, this collection, was that so that when, obviously, the Assembly of Experts elects this new leader, the Iranian people actually feel sure that they've made the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also very important. This is, obviously, this is an election through a particular body,
yes,
a body of experts.
Yes.
But obviously, this is the leader who is going to be leading all the people. So, and obviously, the connection between the people, trust of the people, and their new leader is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
So by observing all these different qualities, and obviously, we know that as soon as the new Rahbar had been chosen and announced, the love for the new Rahbar started.
Yes.
And is just increasing day by day.
It was as if already the people loved him. I mean, for example, indirectly, I mean, without seeing him even. That was because, usually, you know, it is very much different from the Western political campaigns, that a person is going to have 6 months of campaign and then being endorsed by this and that party, or I don't know, being funded by this and that budget. But Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei is loved by the people of Iran, in a quotation, I mean, I can call it, okay, because the people even didn't see any footage. Even we do not have many pictures of him, okay? Still, we have problems with posting the pictures of Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei through AI or something like that, because they're not maybe four or five pictures, or I don't know. Two,
yeah, they
three.
Say even with the pictures, they can analyze and they can find locations. It's a very complicated issue. They say this is possible.
No, I mean, even he's welcome.
Yeah.
But the people, though, it was not that much.
You know, there are different elements. You cannot deny the emotional element of people losing, I mean, missing their previous rahbar. But also the statements that we were receiving from him,
yes,
very comprehensive, very insightful. It was like, it actually affirmed that he understands the seriousness
situation,
of the position,
right,
that he's holding. But you know what? I want to say something. We should not be very apologetic or defensive, because look at what happens in the West. They call it democracy, and they have a new word for everything that we call corruption. Like they say, lobbying. Lobbying is nothing other than bribery, or for example, they say endorsement.
Yes.
What is it, endorsement? This is a connection, the misuse of connections that you have in business or something in order to.
AIPAC, for example.
Yeah, so
endorsing Donald Trump.
Everything that they call in Africa and West Asia as corruption, they just changed the name for it. Lobbying, lobbying, as they say, lobbying as if you're fools. We don't understand what the reality of the situation is.
You know that
is.
Recently Roger Waters has this interview with Tucker Carlson. He says that during all my concerts and the tours in South America, I was not allowed to get into the hotels because they were already controlled by the AIPAC and the Zionist lobbies over there.
Yeah.
Or even, so I couldn't stay, even, for example, Roger Waters, you know,
if you wanna
the Pink Floyd singer.
If you want to run for presidency, if you want to run for Congress, what happens there? Like, there are some billionaires coming and funding your campaign, and you know you don't have a chance without them.
Okay.
And many, like hundreds of people try to do it. It's impossible.
Uh-huh.
Though these billionaires actually buy you, and they fund your campaign in order, like, do they do it for the sake of God only? No, they're going to get something back when you get into power.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of corruption is that? Like, and these people are calling us, you're having dynasty, you're having this and that. I think...
Sorry, let's be straight. Say that Mujtaba Khamenei is more hardline than his father. Is it so?
I
mean, because this is the picture that unfortunately the Western media is making about Mujtaba Khamenei. They say that they killed Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei and replaced him with a more hardline.
Yeah, there are different ways to understand that. Some of them, they try to make it emotional because he is the... He remains from a family that was killed by West, and that's why takes grudges against the West, because it's an emotional, personal thing.
Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba Khamenei is not going to take the personal revenge of his father's killing. This has no role. Okay.
They want to frame it like that because this trauma he has must be... this is not... But in our side, you know, Ayatollah Khamenei Shahid Rahbar, he was very... in an intellectual side of the clergy.
Yeah,
because from young age, he was reading novels. He was having relations.
He was not a hardliner already. Yeah, he was not. And he was revolutionary, but he was not, for example, because we know that in the Hausa studies, quote unquote, sorry, Sheikh, to interrupt you, in the Hausa studies, hardline, you know, was against philosophy. Yes, hardline is against, mysticism and poetry.
This openness that you had in Shahid Rahbar, and this contrast that exists, I want to emphasize on this because you don't have one type thing in the Iranian leadership, and it's a good thing. You have the diversity of personalities and characteristics. Yeah, the goal is one, and the strategies are the same, but yeah, people are different. So in comparison to him, especially when we heard his first statement, we realized that we are dealing with a person that is more like Imam Khomeini than Rahbar. Because Imam Khomeini was into fiqh usul, it was like into hawza, and even the way he talked was very like a chaotic way.
Yes.
But Rahbar, no, he is even he
mystical one, you know, a soft manner.
Yeah, even the terminology that he would use, Imam Khomeini, was very, as we say in Farsi, Akhundi, like Hozavi style.
Yes.
But Rahbar, no, his Persian was very polished Persian, the result of having read literature.
So still we could see that Sayyid Mujtaba Khamenei is different from his father.
Yes, you can even people in Hausa, they refer to some of the terminology that he used in his statement and say, okay, we are back to Imam Khomeini. Style of
leadership. All right, very good. All right, that's it. So, Zainab, go on. Come on, have your follow-up.
Yeah, I was just thinking this idea that obviously the leaders have, you know, well, obviously they have different personalities, so we see some of these almost different flavors in the way they express themselves and the different traits. But I was also thinking back to, so I don't like this idea of hardliner because I perceive that as a Western label.
Yeah, this is a Western
label. It's
very
irrelevant and it provides no insight. And I was thinking also about this way, the way we try to, we sometimes have a tendency to label our imams. So we'll say that, Imam Hussein is the one who fought at Karbala, the revolutionary one.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
And we'll think about Imam Sajjad and think, he was the quiet one who would pray.
Okay.
The almost esoteric one. And so on.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you know, with our imams, we also know that they had all the qualities.
I know what
they
you
all
mean.
Had the same qualities. They're infallible. They weren't really
the right manifestation at the right time and place. That's right.
Exactly. But they brought out the particular qualities that were needed in the circumstances in each of their lifetimes. And I actually think of, with Imam Khomeini, our Shahid Rahbar, and now with our new Rahbar.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, it's something like that. Each of them, they'll have all these other qualities.
You know, in the first message of Sayyid Mujtaba Khamenei, we could see his emphasis. I think that was the first or second article on the Strait of Hormuz. And no people, even the most people in the Islamic Republic of Iran hadn't the picture of what has a rapper has to do with the Strait of Hormuz, okay? And that is the key. That was the key to the success in the negotiations and all this war. You know, it was a game changer from the nuclear talks to the Strait of Hormuz. And this shows the knowledge of Sayyid Mujtaba Khamenei, as you said, over the geopolitical science. That's it. Let's get to the religious side. He has to be pure, isn't it?
Yes.
He has to be religiously speaking. Even there are some qualifications that the public might not have true understanding, but the assembly of experts have.
Yes, these qualities have been stipulated in
are
the
really
constitution,
that's right.
And there is a reason for each of them. Like for example, the adala, the concept of having a balanced observance of the religious law. Balance is very important.
Yes.
Some people are novice. They are just started to be religious. They might be radical this way and that way. But you have to prove after 20 years, 30 years, that your observance of the religious law is a balanced, moderate
way. Were you under control, these candidates, all these years by the Assembly of Experts? Their behaviors were washed or something?
Those people who were brought up in the committee, because this is their most important job.
Mm-hmm.
They get to do it once in their life, maybe, right. okay? And they should carry it out on the best possible of their capacity. That's so right. they do this.
So this is this ongoing search and study
yes.
about the possible candidates during all. It is not one night's election.
Also the activities of the current leader. Like, you know, the Council of Experts is responsible for the actions of the current leader. Yes. If they realize that he is doing something wrong, it's something like impeachment.
All right.
They have that capacity as well. So, yes, they focus on these people, and part of it is naturally traditionally in Hausa, in the clerical world,
yes.
it shows itself that a person performs, like, somehow convince everybody else that he's at this level of adala, at this level of education and mastery of fiqh.
So for sure he must have this high level of Hausa studies,
yes.
isn't it?
The trust of the community.
You
don't earn it overnight.
Yes.
And then also simple life. You have people who are adil and also who are educated, who are very learned people, scholars, but they don't have a simple life.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been stipulated in the constitution that he should be in maintaining a simple life, because mm-hmm. he should not be, it should not be possible to be bought by the people of wealth.
That's Rosh Hashanah Zahra Haddad Adel, the wife, the martyred wife of current leader Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei. She was a teacher. She was a principal at the school, elementary school. You know, even based on the father's memoir, Dr. Haddad Adel, he said that when we get the body of Shahida Zahra,
she was getting ready to school.
She was in her uniform, you know, uniform.
Actually, the wife is over there.
The Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei, recent pictures are over there, you know, when attending the school meetings.
Yeah. Very simple. Outfit, yes.
Yeah. Even, for example, there are some footage and the video of his teaching circles, you know, just sitting down,
yes.
like the students around his circles.
Yeah. Humbleness.
Humbleness is over there,
also,
yes.
Shahid Bisbal Huda Baghri Kani, the son-in-law. There's this picture, they were having a street food in Tehran, with his family, with the grandchildren of the most powerful man in the country.
Yeah, that's it.
So I'm trying to say that there's this concern and seriousness about a person, a politician, being bought by billionaires. You know, this is very important. So at the level of the leadership, this at the level of presidency, unfortunately, it might take place sometimes.
Yeah.
Some of these big billionaires, people of the wealth, they come and support a candidate and they take him into office. But this does not take place in the level of jurists. Yeah.
All right. And still, there is an imminent threat to his life, isn't it?
Yeah,
well, he's threatened.
This is ongoing, and Trump said this. So this is obviously
why fearing such a simple man. I mean, why, for example, a person who was not even politically engaged into the mass media, you know, all these years, you know, and they can find a little about his experience or his writings or his ideas. So why fearing such a man, unknown man?
So this is in a sense, the unusual thing. So on the one hand, we sort of think that, oh, they have no idea. They don't appreciate someone like the leader.
Uh-huh.
They can't quite come to terms with it, what that means.
Yes.
But at the same time, they must understand something, because they really are in fear. And it's not just fear of, obviously, his leadership for the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's for the whole Ummah.
Yes.
And actually, it goes beyond that, as we've seen. So the respect that the Shahid Rahba had way beyond the sort of Islamic Ummah in the world.
Right, yes.
So this is he is a global figure,
uh-huh.
for sure.
That's it. All right. And the people's choice are at work, because some people might ask, this is the selection, or it's basically the choice of the Council of Experts, but the members of the Council of Experts are selected and elected by the people, okay? We go and vote. So whenever we want to have access to our leader or even criticize him, I write something to the person, to the member, I selected, okay?
And your representative.
They are our representatives, yeah, yeah. And they have control over the affairs of, you know...
This office.
Oversee the leadership. So at the end of the day, this is people's choice. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sheikh Latifi. May Allah prolong the life of Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba al-Khamenei, our new leader. Inshallah, we experience, inshallah, we can say, and taste the, I don't know, his leadership might be a little bit different now. Now he's in, just consider that, for example, you lose your wife.
Yeah.
And your father. And your sister. And even you cannot attend the funeral procession.
Yeah.
And all these, for example, national, international affairs of a society, like big, big society, like Islamic Republic of Iran, is on your shoulder. And you have, you're threatened by the biggest enemies, Zaire American forces, who has, so quote unquote, they say the best military service all around the world. You cannot get a video. You cannot get an audio.
You cannot have regular meeting with your own children.
With your own children. And you're all living in, we can't say, over there. Inshallah, may Allah strengthen his power. May Allah give him more power to bear such and endure such situation. He is completely backed by his people, not because of his father, but because of the selection of the assembly of the experts. And he is very much respected both inside and outside Islamic Republic of Iran. Sheikh Hossein Latifi, Sister Zainab, thank you very much for your contribution. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for being with us on IRIB English Radio. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me. Allah.